Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
And welcome to a Thursday edition of Dueling Tangents, minus the Brian this afternoon. I am Luke, your host for the hour. You're listening to this fine program on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios, as always. You're also streaming the program either online or terrestrial on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out in Waukesha. Always streaming on the Devil Radio app. Downloaded wherever fine apps are downloaded. Really appreciate Evan joining me again this afternoon on the board. Screening your calls, 844-967-2789. You can join me at any point this hour. I will be joined a little bit later in the show by Sean Fetaplace of Main Street Alliance. Main Street Alliance has been working hard doing some small business roundtables with candidates running for the U.S. Senate for the Democratic U.S. Senate nomination this August. So Sean's going to be stopping by. He's on his way back as we speak from one of those roundtables. So he's going to be calling into the show at 2:30. But you can join me before Sean does, 844-967-2789. And the first thing I want to dive into this afternoon is one of those stories, and unfortunately with the shooting news and the potential tragedy that almost occurred here in Madison earlier this week, it did not get touched on yet. So this is something that caught my eye by PolitiFact Wisconsin earlier in the week, and this is where I want to start today's show. And it's a pretty interesting outline. Apparently there's I don't know if you've heard of this term before, Evan, but there's an Evers O-meter.
Okay.
And this is something that PolitiFact Wisconsin, apparently they did a Walker O-meter and a Trump O-meter as well.
I don't like the insinuation, but yes.
It's essentially kind of trying to give thermometer readings.
Yeah,
trackings.
We got to be fair, you know?
It's something that PolitiFact Wisconsin is using to track where candidates are coming down on some of the things that when they campaigned upon when they first ran for office, where they stand on those now in either the end of their term or re-election or however you want to look at it. And I find it an interesting lens, I guess, to view the world that is Wisconsin politics. I find it a very interesting lens because I guess if you want to call balls and strikes, if you're a big fan of the arbitrary, did he not follow through, without actually taking in any of the nuance, any of the actual political landscape.
They don't even consider the legislature, do they?
Well, you're touching on it already, Evan, because it's an interesting point, and that's why I want to get into it. PolitiFact Wisconsin updated their Evers O-meter earlier this week on six different topics that Governor Evers, when he was then the candidate Evers in 2018, of the campaign promises that he was looking and he ran on and told Wisconsinites that he wanted to deliver on these issues. And if you're only following the horse race in the polls and you're only following the politics by calling balls and strikes, I can understand why this is for you then, I guess. For me, I find it lacks nuance. It lacks any actual, like, analysis. It's kind of, it's very bland. And so, PolitiFact, this is how they sum it up. In other words, we're taking a bottom-line look at whether promises were accomplished in the time frame set. Typically, that's the first term. But in some cases, Evers noted at the time fulfilling the promises would take longer. We assign ratings based on the status of the promise. In the works, stalled, compromised, promise kept, or promise broken. So it's a pretty interesting list, Evan. And I'm gonna run through the whole list before actually diving into PolitiFact Wisconsin's analysis of each one. And you can join the conversation at any time. 844-967-2789. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but I'm joined by Evan on the board and very appreciative of that.
The Brian is a myth.
like birds don't exist, like Brian doesn't exist.
Ooh, yes, I'll make a t-shirt.
Just we gotta get that meme going. I don't think he'll like that very much.
Probably not. I mean, he works really hard.
Yeah, I was just saying, he's the hard work. The reason he's not with me is this is Brian's creative outlet. He's hurting for the fact that I know he's not on air with me right now, but he's got important work to tend to, and so we're covering the airwaves.
I'm sorry, Brian.
We love you, Brian. You don't not exist. You exist. You're there. But these are the six topics that PolitiFact Wisconsin was keeping track of on the Evers-O-Meter. Raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour with automatic inflationary increases. That's number one. Number two is assure high-speed broadband access to all homes and businesses. Number three, support ending solitary confinement. Number four, work to cut prison population in half in coming years. Number five, prohibit businesses from asking applicants about criminal histories. And number six, expand background checks and put in place gun restrictions.
It's like a wish list, you know?
It is. I mean, that's a lot of candidates run on quote unquote wish lists. And I can understand a journalistic outlet, PolitiFact Wisconsin. A lot of what they're focusing on is trying to hold people accountable for those wish lists that they run on and see where they stand. And I guess one caveat I would say is most of the time, there's not a whole lot that a governor can do on their own. It's just simply not that. I know a lot of Americans, a lot of Wisconsinites believe that the executive branch is this all-powerful, almighty branch of government, and Joe Biden is the reason that gas prices are so high because he's got the specific control of setting gas prices, and he just doesn't like Americans. He just wants gas prices to be high, and that's why he's just an awful, awful, awful president, and he is making us pay too much money for gas prices. Oh, what's that? Gas prices have gone down 21 days consecutively. Is everybody praising Joe Biden for that? No, but that is the perception that these executive offices get in this both here in Wisconsin and in America. That we believe the president, we believe governors have all this power. Let's put it out there as well that as soon as Evers was elected, the first action that the Wisconsin legislature, the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature took in the state after they found out they were no longer going to have an ally in the governor's mansion was to strip the executive branch of as many of the powers that it could.
Got to get that lame duck.
The 2018 lame duck session that former Governor Scott Walker's last action, pretty much, as governor, was signing that legislation. He didn't sign any pardons, as some do right on their way out the door. He wasn't focused on anything else. He was lining up a job at the Young Americans Foundation or wherever he's working now and getting his paycheck and signing the lame duck legislation that stripped away the power from the governor. And to be honest, if we're not talking about that, when you're talking about the ability for a first-term governor who has been hamstrung by the legislature to do the things that he campaigned on, like that is an abdication of responsibility, in my opinion, by PolitiFact Wisconsin. Like, let's talk about the fact that Evers campaigned on all of these things when he thought that he would have the powers of the governor that Walker had previously, that the Republican-led legislature was fine letting a Republican governor have, but were stripped away from him after his campaign. And it's fascinating to me that doesn't get talked about more. But we're gonna dive into the PolitiFact Wisconsin's ratings of these things. So let's go to the first one. Raise minimum wage to $15 an hour with automatic inflationary increases. That something alone is not... What the governor cannot act alone on that. He needs support in the legislature.
I will give PolitiFact Wisconsin a little credit here. They did note the fact that Evers never put into a budget something that would have gotten the minimum wage in the state of Wisconsin up to $15 an hour. His highest was up to $10.15. That was what the Evers administration put into their state budgets. They wanted to try to increase the minimum wage from the federal minimum, which is $7.25. Hasn't changed in, more than a decade, I believe now. I think 2008 or 2009 was the last time we had a federal an increase in the federal minimum wage, and Wisconsin hasn't done anything since. Evers' proposal was to start at $8.60 an hour and then work up to $10.15 an hour by 2024. So a compromise from his campaign promise, a compromise from what he wanted and campaigned upon of $15 an hour. And despite Republicans receiving fewer votes in the 2018 election than Democratic candidates when it came to state assembly and state senate races, they still had a majority. So he had to work with a majority. And so rather than put the $15 an hour as the increase into the budget, he put a little bit more modest, $10.15 an hour. And that was still stripped away from any minimum wage increase was still stripped away from Evers' budget proposal. It was not even considered by the Republican legislature. And PolitiFact had previously rated this promise as in the works. But with the end of his term approaching, we need to offer a final rating, is what PolitiFact Wisconsin says. And so they even put, despite Evers' best efforts, this promise is not in place. If he wins a second term, we'll revisit it next year. But for now, we rate this as promise broken. And I guess this is kind of going to be an occurring trend for these six that we're going to get into before I'm joined by Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Alliance coming up at 2:30. But is it the governor's fault that he has his proposals stripped away from the Wisconsin by the Wisconsin legislature? And is it his fault that he couldn't deliver on the promise? Is it a promise broken? Or is it just the fact that Republicans refuse to give the governor any kind of win in this state throughout his first term? Won't even let him appoint executive appointments, but we'll get more into that. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. A little less Brian today.
He's real.
He is real. He's around. He's just not on air with us today. But folks, you could join us on air, 844-967-2789. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. Always streaming on the Devil Radio app. You can follow the show on Twitter as well, at Dueling Tangents. You can follow both the stations, the Shaw on Facebook and Twitter, and Devil Radio 92.7 on Facebook and Twitter. And you can stay informed, up to date with everything that we're doing on the social medias. We share a lot of the stories that we're talking about on air, as well as news and headlines from around Wisconsin and the region. But up next, before I continue into the PolitiFact ratings of the Evers-O-Meter, I'm going to go to the phone lines and be joined by our friend from Prairie du Sac. We got Mark on the line. Mark, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing okay. And the big caveat that never, that apparently PolitiFact isn't admitting here, that, Evers was sabotaged before he even took office with, Wanker's last vicious little act before he left, signing away, a lot of the governors and elected officials, statewide elected officials' powers, saying that what the legislature's got to do is legislature's got to do that. Scotty Wanker never did deliver the 250,000 jobs he promised, but he did deliver a good chunk of change to the Chinese company Foxconn. And that, unless you admit the real facts, I mean, PolitiFact once likes to be honest and all that, but that's part of the facts that can't be omitted to actually have an honest look at the facts. I mean,
yeah,
that's
exactly what I brought it up. I mean, omitting that information, and I think it's fortunate, I guess, Mark, that the legislature wasn't so, they didn't have so much foresight that they could foresee the pandemic coming, because one thing they didn't take away from the governor's office was the executive branch's ability here in the state of Wisconsin to be able to be the body that allocates federal funds. The federal relief funds are what the Evers administration has been doing to send as much direct aid and assistance to those suffering from the COVID-19 pandemic and the ramifications of the new norm here in Wisconsin and around the country. Without Evers having that ability, I believe that a lot of that state aid here in Wisconsin would not have gone to the places that it went. It went to small businesses. There's been analysis done that Evers was the most pro-small business governor when it came to sending that aid to the people that need it. Because had the Republican legislature got any say in that process, they would have sat on it and they would have used it for tax cuts like other Republican states around the country. We have $3.8 billion right now in surplus, and you have Republican candidates bemoaning the fact of high gas prices, blaming it for some reason on the Evers administration and the Biden administration. It's their fault that gas prices got so high. They're not saying anything now about them coming down. And they have this surplus that they could send direct relief to Wisconsin taxpayers right now, today, if they wanted to. The Evers administration called for a special session on it, and Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out because they don't want government to work for the people. They want government to work for their donors. And it's a good thing that Evers can deliver on those things, because we'd just be sitting waiting for even more assistance if the Republicans had their way in Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Republicans simply don't care. I mean, and that's what Evers should just continue to point out. How long have those guys actually been in session since the pandemic started? They ignored taking any action during the pandemic to alleviate the quote-unquote voting crisis that supposedly occurred, and then they take it out on the executive, appointed authority that actually tried to do what they could to alleviate, you know, people's problems when it came to the ballot box.
Yeah, I mean, they want to complain now about the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is a body that was created by Voss, former state Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and Scott Walker. They want to bemoan the thing that they created to administer elections in the state of Wisconsin, that they decided not to go into session and give any special advice on how to administer an election in the midst of the worst pandemic that we had seen in a century. And instead, they use it as a punching bag now. They are undermining Wisconsinites' integrity in elections. People are concerned that there's voter fraud out there, despite any ability to prove that there's voter fraud out there, because Republicans have been decrying, saying that there's voting fraud. And it's a cyclical thing. They can just cry about it over and over and over again. And it's very little talked about than the fact that it is the body that they created, the WEC, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, created during the Walker administration by Republicans, and it's their boogeyman now. But getting back to this piece over at PolitiFact, only going to have time for about one more here, and I want to choose one that, you know, they rate as a compromise, which is an interesting way to say how Evers delivered on this one. But getting back to that American Rescue Plan funds and a lot of the federal pandemic relief funding that came in from Congress and the president, one of those things that was targeted outside of just small business support for Wisconsin small businesses was broadband access. Evers' administration, when he ran in 2018, knew that rural broadband and getting high-speed internet to the people that did not have it was an important topic. It is something that he ran on. And had the pandemic and the relief that we've received not happened, I don't believe that the amount of broadband projects that are happening around the state right now would be happening, because Republicans wanted to take a loan out. They
not
wanted
a
to,
chance. You're
they,
right.
They wanted to take a loan out. Despite the fact that we have a surplus, they wanted to borrow the money to do the Republican proposal for broadband. And the Evers administration said, no, we're going to deliver $125 million. We're going to do, I believe it's more than 71 projects approved in 2021. Evers is delivering on this, and the best he gets is a compromise. Because he didn't get it all. He didn't get broadband access for all. He said that for all in his campaign promise. And despite the fact that he delivered for more than 83,000 homes that didn't have it, 4,600 businesses that didn't have high-speed broadband, Evers was the only one working on that issue, besides the fact that you had some bad faith arguments from Republicans for funding in the most recent state budget. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm going to be joined by Sean Fetterplace when we get back. 844-967-2789.
Road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my
welcome
friend.
Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, off improving our signals here on the network of stations Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, as well as the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming on the Devil Radio app. You can join the conversation, share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. But I am joined by a friend of the show, excellent guest, and he is currently on the road, Sean Fetterplace of Main Street Alliance. Sean, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. I was wondering if that was why you picked that song. in the wonderful Fox Valley, we had some meetings, held a U.S. Senate roundtable in Appleton with the folks running for U.S. Senate, and just excited to be able to join you today and talk a bit about it and why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I am thrilled, Sean, to have you join us on the show. And I believe it's a really important conversation because the fact that there is such a crowded field, I do like, because it's not just one anointed candidate that's running. I'm not a big fan of that. That's not how I believe the Democratic process should unfold for either party, like the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And we had kind of expansive fields for both. The Republican one kind of shrunk a little bit this week for the gubernatorial primary. But the U.S. Senate primary is still pretty crowded field, and there's less than 5 weeks now before the August 9th primary here in the state of Wisconsin, and that's why I really appreciate the work that Main Street Alliance and you are doing to be able to highlight where these candidates are coming down on the issues, and specifically from angles of small business owners in the state of Wisconsin, because I feel like for all too long we've heard the small business is the backbone of the economy, and not just here in Wisconsin, but around the country. But then you don't hear a whole lot of advocacy being done by small businesses. You get a lot of large business lobbies that are the ones kind of setting the tone for how these conversations are had. And so tell me about the roundtable that Main Street Alliance held in Appleton yesterday.
Yeah, and just in case your listeners are not as familiar with us, Main Street Alliance, we're a small business advocacy group working to help build power for, the sort of Main Street businesses in Madison, South Tomato Pies, you got Coffee, a lot of the sort of folks that really work hard, want to do, high road employers, want to pay people a decent wage, provide benefits, and be, I think, positive influences in the community. And as part of that, we launched our Main Street Action efforts earlier in June, and we held actually three roundtables. We held a roundtable in Madison, a roundtable in Milwaukee, and a roundtable here in Appleton. And we were joined by seven of the candidates who are running for U.S. Senate. Senator Johnson was invited, and he actually was supposed to come to Milwaukee, but unfortunately had some official votes come up. We're continuing to work to have a conversation with him and his campaign about the issues. But really what we're trying to do is to elevate small business issues like, be able to afford health insurance, be able to get childcare to be affordable, to make sure that people can take paid leave if they need to, capital access You know, we've had one of the most robust investments in small business in the country by Governor Evers here in Wisconsin. And what are we going to do at the federal level to continue that support? And so we're really happy to be able to be joined by the candidates, our members, ask questions of them. We had a really good turnout in Appleton. We had 50 small business owners. We had 5 TV stations joining, and the opportunity for folks to really hear directly from the candidates about what they would do to help Main Street small businesses if they were elected to the U.S. Senate.
Excellent. And then that's an interesting dynamic of it as well that I did not know previously, that the current U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was invited to attend because unfortunately, I think both you and I know, Sean, that the senator's not necessarily, at least, I mean, this year alone, he said in regards to paid family leave or universal child care, that it's not really society's responsibility to take care of children. So I think I know where he comes down on those issues. But I still think it would be an important dynamic for him to be able to be asked those questions by small business owners here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's great to hear that there was outreach to his office. And hopefully there will be some work to coordinate an event like that where the senator could answer some of those questions by your members. Because...
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, to cut you off. And just to be clear, these events and our efforts on Main Street Action are nonpartisan, and we're really trying to make sure that no matter who gets elected, whether Senator Ron Johnson is reelected or whether or not one of the Democratic candidates ends up winning in November, that they hear directly from folks. And so I know sometimes Senator Ron Johnson has been a guest in the past on Devil Radio, so maybe we could have a call and talk with him a little bit about, you know, what we really hope to see looking forward as far as you know, these things that help support small business. But it was interesting. I mean, we heard a lot from the candidates about reining in monopolies, about making sure that we have a small business economy that works for everyone. And so it'll be interesting to see as the campaign takes shape over the next month or so for the primary where folks are eventually going to land.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that the senator used to come around, because right around January of 2021, he stopped coming around, and we haven't had him recently in studio or on any of the programming, because he used to show up and bring a six pack. He was, the invitation has been extended, but he's not the same guy as he was since the 2020 campaign cycle, which he wasn't even on the ballot for. But I think that's important aspect as well, though, saying that it's a nonpartisan work, because when it comes to the bottom line, a lot of these small business owners just want to see policies that work for them and assist them in the hurdles that they're facing in the small business world. And I think that's a really important dynamic as well. What kind of responses did the candidates that did attend the event yesterday, how were they perceived by the small business owners that were in attendance as well?
Yeah, and I would just say if we can maybe get some Monocle Brewing Company beer into Land Brewing and bring the senator back to Devil Radio, I'd be happy to work with you on that. But I think that as far as the answers, Tom Nelson, had, I think, a really good, deep answer about what can we do to rein in a lot of consolidation in the dairy industry. Wisconsin is the dairyland for a reason, and there's been a tremendous amount of corporate consolidation that's negatively impacted them. I think he spoke really well of that. And you got Mandela Barnes, who spoke really well about the need to invest in healthcare and childcare and making sure that businesses can get by. I think that Stephen Olcara, I think as a person who's an entrepreneur himself, has a really interesting perspective on really getting, you know, corporate money out of politics. He's talked a lot about that during the course of his campaign. And, you know, unfortunately, there were a few things that came up. Sarah Grabowski, unfortunately, did test positive for COVID earlier last week and still was testing positive. So she chose to stay home and get well. And we wish her the best. And hopefully she has a full recovery. And Alex Lazary had a family emergency come up. And so, unfortunately, wasn't able to join. But he did join in Milwaukee. Sarah joined in Madison, and it's been great to hear from all the different candidates who are running for these offices on what they think is important. So I would say there's a lot of similarities between the Democrats running on these issues, but I think it's also important for them to understand that if they are elected, that these are the things that real small business owners really need to be addressed so they can have health insurance for their staff or for themselves, where they can have staff able to get child care for the kids so they can come to work, so that if somebody is pregnant or sick, that they can take paid time off, that businesses can get started. Capital access is really important. So it was really, really, I think, key for us to get in front of these folks and have that conversation. And we look forward to continuing it, and whoever gets elected in November, also holding them accountable to make sure they're prioritizing Main Street.
Absolutely. And I think those are really important conversations for Wisconsin voters to be able to hear, as well as I know the three roundtables have passed now. Are there going to be more roundtables? Is there a way that listeners to this program here on Devil Radio and on the Shaw can go and access those roundtable discussions? Is that a resource still out there? Or how can listeners learn more about the work that Main Street Alliance is doing in that vein and try to get some more of that information before the August 9th primary?
So first off, I just want to encourage everyone listening to vote in the August 9th primary. You can go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov to register to vote, to request an absentee ballot. There's still time to do that. And, you know, really make sure your voice is heard. In addition to that, folks can go to mainstreetalliance.org, sign up as a member. You can do that in the upper right-hand corner. And we have a pledge to vote action that we're asking people to take, which if you sign up, you'll receive that as well. And going into the fall, we will be hosting other roundtables, both in the general election for the U.S. Senate race, but also for the gubernatorial, the governor's race. Whoever the Republicans nominate against Governor Evers will be hosting events for that race. And then also in the western part of the state, the 3rd Congressional District, we'll be hosting most likely via Zoom, since that district is so widespread. It goes all the way from Hudson to Platteville. We'll be hosting that as well. So we'll definitely, if you sign up as a member at mainstreetalliance.org, you will find out when we're having those local events. And we're really, as a whole, just trying to build power, build that connection, and make sure that these candidates who are running for office really prioritize Main Street should they be elected.
Fantastic. And yeah, that 3rd Congressional District is an expansive one that is far-reaching across western Wisconsin, pretty far south, like Platteville, you mentioned, all the way up to where Wisconsin crosses over to the Twin Cities area. And so it's a very large district. Excellent to hear that Main Street Alliance is going to be working with those candidates to put on a forum as well. Because that's going to be one of those highly contested races here in the state of Wisconsin. It was a razor-thin margin in 2020. Ron Kind is leaving. One of the other ones that I'm keeping an eye on, Sean, and don't know if there's a whole lot of work that Main Street Alliance is doing in this regard, but what about the 1st Congressional District? It seems like that may be the only other toss-up kind of district here in the state of Wisconsin. Is there work being done in the 1st Congressional District as well, or is that something that is maybe not this cycle, but something to think about future cycles?
Yeah, we have some great member businesses in Janesville, including Richard Nino, who owns Lark Market and Sandwich Bar. And there was actually a really great article about him recently and his wife, Joan, because they were doing a fundraiser in memory of Anthony Bourdain, actually. That was featured in the Up North News, if listeners want to Google that. But, you know, I had the privilege to meet with Ann Rowe. I've worked and met with Representative Style in the past in both this role and other roles. And, you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that race in November. We just, unfortunately, have a pretty small staff in the state, and we have to pick our battles. We're not going to be able to really engage in that campaign this year, but we're looking forward to hopefully being able to do so next cycle. But it's definitely exciting that, you know, we, at least on the federal level, it was unfortunate what happened with the state legislative maps and the decision by the Supreme Court on that. But it's good to see that we have more competitive congressional elections now, including the Wisconsin 1st District.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a breath of fresh air. That was one of those silver linings in the gerrymandering fight, having that 1st Congressional District be a little bit more competitive and not so locked in. Unfortunately, the other two Republican districts outside of Waukesha are a little bit more locked in, even more to Republicans now. But folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am joined by my friend Sean Fetaplace of Main Street Alliance. He is on the road, traveling back from one of the small business roundtables Main Street Alliance hosted to discuss issues with U.S. Senate candidates this fall. Sean, we got one more segment left in the day. You got enough time while you're on the road to be able to stick around for this segment?
I pulled off before I hit Rosendale, so I still have a signal, so I am happy to continue this conversation.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we are joined by Sean, gracing us with one more segment. 844-967-2789 if you want to join the conversation. This is Dueling Tangents. We will be right back.
All right, thank you very much.
Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. Off being Superman, improving our signals. You're listening to the program on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM in Madison, and the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. We are joined by Sean Fetaplace of Main Street Alliance. Sean is on the road, coming back from a round small business roundtable up in Appleton. And one of the things you started touching on between all the different races that Main Street Alliance is going to be working to get some information out there for voters on where these candidates come down is both in the 3rd Congressional District in Western Wisconsin, but the U.S. Senate race that is going to be heating up, and as well as the governor's race that is going to be heating up here in Wisconsin. And one of the things, Sean, that is particular to Wisconsin politics, but you can see it in other areas around the nation as well. There's this urban-rural divide that is growing further and further and further. And you're seeing a lot now that it's election season again. You're seeing more stories talking about how can candidates, how can Democrats, how can Republicans reach out to these rural voters? Because in Wisconsin, it's a big part of the electorate. There is a large rural population in Wisconsin, and elections are decided on razor-thin margins here. One of those things that is connecting that divide is high-speed broadband. And I'd be curious to know if there is a lot of that that's being talked about. I know it's an issue that I hear a lot about. Is it an issue that you hear about as well outside of for small businesses like childcare, healthcare, paid time off, paid leave? Is rural broadband and getting high-speed internet another one of those issues that Main Street Alliance business members are talking about, or is that just something I'm reading about?
Yeah, it is something that folks are talking about. If you look at a lot of rural parts of the state, and we work pretty heavily in like Mesomamy and New Glarus and Mount Horeb, and then going up to the Driftless region, there are parts of the Driftless region where you not only don't have very good internet, but also you don't even have cell service, right? And for a lot of these businesses that during the course of the pandemic end up selling a lot more online, they pivoted more to online sales in order to be able to keep their business afloat. And so as a result of that, you know, having a good connection to the internet is really important. Thankfully, because the infrastructure package that was passed by President Biden and by in a bipartisan way in the Congress, we're able to start getting a lot of those lines in the ground, so to speak. And you'll see more and more of that as grants are awarded over the course of the next, you know, year or two. And so we're really excited about that. But I think the thing, honestly, I hear the most in especially rural communities is health insurance. We need to, at the state level, expand badger care. And if the state won't do it, if the legislature won't do it, then we need the Senate to take action through the reconciliation package, through action by the Senate, to do it for the state and to make sure that 95,000 people can get access to health insurance. I've talked to many small business owners in rural parts of the state that are uninsured, that are underinsured, that aren't able to start their business because of lack of access to affordable health insurance. And so, you know, I think that engaging in working in these rural communities all across the state as an organization, and it's certainly been a priority of ours, we need to make sure that we understand that there are differences in rural communities, but also a lot of the challenges that they're facing are some of the same challenges that folks in Madison, Milwaukee are facing every day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's unfortunately a sad thing that gets glazed over a lot of the time. It is a politics. There are individuals here in the state of Wisconsin that play politics by trying to divide rather than unite. And unfortunately, there's a lot. We got a lot more in common between an urban and rural divide. Excuse me. It's almost the weekend. It's Thursday that feels like a Friday, but it's just a Thursday. We have a lot more in common than we have different for all Wisconsinites, and we all want the same thing. We want good-paying jobs. We want to be able to provide for our families, and we want to be able to have access to a good quality of life. And it's a shame sometimes that it gets thrown into that divide all too often, but it's excellent to hear the work that you're doing at Main Street Alliance to be able to have those conversations, make those connections, and advocate for policies that help not just Madison and Milwaukee, but also Viroqua and Bayfield and all around the state. Just the fact that for far too long we've had this divide is upsetting, and I'm excited to hear from a lot of these candidates and continue to follow the work that Main Street Alliance is doing leading up to the elections, because it's a really pivotal time right now. I always joke, Sean, I'm a relatively young guy, but every election of my life has been the most important election of my life, and it seems like this one is not the exception to that. It's going to be an important 2022 election, and I'm really grateful for all the work that you're doing out there talking to small business owners and advocating to the candidates running to represent Wisconsin in Congress and here in the state on these issues that I don't see a whole lot of other organizations talking about. So I really appreciate you taking the time and stopping on the road on your way back home to be able to have this conversation. How can the listeners find more about Main Street Alliance and what they can do to get involved with the work your organization is doing?
Yeah, just briefly on the rural outreach today, Corrine Hendrickson, who's a child care provider in New Glarus, and Kyle LaFond, who owns American Providence in Mount Horeb, they've been busy telling their stories, and we've been capturing their stories today to really talk about what it's like in rural communities. I would say for folks who are listening to this, tell your story, talk with your elected officials, talk with the folks in your area who are running for office, and make sure they hear what you think needs to happen in order to make sure our main streets are able to thrive. Go to myvote.wi.gov, make sure to vote in the August 9th primary, and join us at mainstreetalliance.org to become a member and be able to build power for small businesses all across our state.
Fantastic. Really appreciate you joining me on the show today, Sean. Safe travels home. Best of luck with the continued work that you're going to be doing here around Wisconsin with Main Street Alliance. Really appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. You too. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. We'll see. Maybe the big guy will surprise us tomorrow afternoon and grace us with his presence. But I know he's hard at work. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. 844. I'm giving you the phone number instead of the podcast.
You can call me. I'll give you the podcast.
Yeah, Evan will tell you where the podcast is as well. But you can go check out the podcast for yourself at devilradio927.com. Click on the podcast tab. It's Dueling Tangents. Really easy to listen and follow along. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. We got the Matt McNeil Show coming up next, and I will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.